I'm very, very happy to say on the line I have Asma Seba. Welcome to Near FM, Asma. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm pretty fine. Thank you. I'm really excited to be part of the Belfast Ireland Festival and looking forward to meet the Dubliners.
Well, we're very much looking forward to welcoming you to our city. Hopefully, it's very rainy here today. Hopefully the rain will be all gone by tomorrow because we've had some very good weather over the last couple of weeks.
So I will bring you some sun from Brussels. Don't worry.
Please do. Okay, Asma. You're coming to Dublin as part of an exhibition that's going to take place at Filmbase over the coming days, and it's called Steadfastness. As part of that exhibition, you're going to be showing some photographs that were taken by children in Gaza. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Sure. So the exhibition is called Gaza Seen by Its Children. It's a project I had the opportunity to settle when I was living in Gaza during 2012, 2013, and then again in 2014. So pretty much the idea there's a lot to say, of course, but I guess I just have a couple of minutes for the interview on the phone. So I will try to summarize. The approach was to work with six children, three boys, three girls from refugee camps, actually, and those refugee camps are pretty close to the border with Erez, with Israel. So that area, that part of the Gaza Strip, was the most affected by the bombings and the massacres in 2006 mm-hmm. By the Israeli military. And the idea was to work with the children who were exposed to massacres, slaughters, who have been witnessed. Some of them saw their parents, brothers and sisters being shot in front of them. Other were injured. So the idea was to work with psychologists. I was helped by three psychologists and teachers from their schools. And also, eventually, we will get the family involved to work, like really a team of all those people, and try to give the opportunity to the child to know a little bit about photography, because as a photographer, I've been involved with photography pretty late. Let's say I studied first philosophy in Brussels, yeah. And for me the idea of photography was to use a tool of expression, other from writing or from singing or painting, that will be really close to the reality we live. So the idea was to give cameras to the kids. I brought some cameras with me from Brussels, mm-hmm. and I will give them workshops of photography and teach them what photography can be. And they kept the camera tool with them for many months. So the camera became like a friend of them. They will keep it really close. One child, while I was sleeping with that camera. And every week, actually, we will give them a subject to express. Like the first week I was in Gaza in 2012, I came in the month of May, and mm-hmm. that was a month of studying and exams. So we will give them like every 1 week or 2 weeks subjects to photograph. The idea was first to let them express themselves, of course, to release all the anger, the yeah. sadness they have, but also to show us, to show to the outside. But first, the idea is to let them express themselves and for themselves to see the environment. And the second goal of the exhibition is for me to bring those pictures, because they are the ones. They were photographers, actually, mm-hmm. for months, to bring those pictures and show to the European, first the Belgian European, because I'm Belgian, and mm-hmm. then to the outside world what it's like to be a child, what childhood means, to live under siege, under occupation, under constant bombings. That's pretty much to resume the project.
Yeah, so it was basically, as you said, it was like a form of therapy for the children. It was
absolutely
something.
Absolutely, so it's called something to give them a focus. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I will give you an example, Mark. Mu'tasim al-Bashir, who was at that time in 2012, 11 years old, he witnessed massacres of his mother, father, and two brothers mm-hmm. in front of him from snipers, Israeli snipers. So he's a very shy, child, and not really a speaking child. And with this program, the psychologist was following him in the center, noticed that the more we were working with the pictures, the more Murtasim will have more self-insurance and will eventually start to express himself and start to share emotions, actually. Mm. And for me, that was I noticed after a couple of months working with the kids and the psychologist that actually photography can really help improve can release their angers, their frustrations, but also it gives hopes, because when you have a child coming with a picture of a cat and explaining to you, you know, I used to sleep with my mom, but my mom got killed, mm-hmm. and now I can't sleep if I don't have my cats with me in the bed. That's voila, Abu Musa. So the psychologist really encouraged me to tell me, yes, this project really has an effect on the kids, but also on the families. Mm-hmm. So yes, it was a quite for me, my goal was to help those kids. Yeah. I'm not a psychologist, of course, mm-hmm. but for me, the main goal was to let them express themselves, and also to show to the kids actually in Brussels, because I had an exhibition in downtown Brussels in the culture cinema, and schools were invited to bring their pupils to show them the pictures, and it was very interesting exchanges. Some of kids write letters to the children in Gaza while I was working with. So for me, it was really, it also affected me emotionally and humanly, of course.
Yeah. Now, your exhibition has been seen around Europe and has been very, very well received. Is this the first time it's going to be in Ireland?
Yes, this is the first time in Ireland, absolutely. I was in Cork last year before another exhibition, because besides of this project with the kids, I was working with female former detainees into Israeli prisons, and so I was invited by the Cork comrades for that exhibition. But for the Gaza children, it will be the first time for them to meet the Irish public.
Yeah. There are some other exhibits going on alongside yours as part of the exhibition, I understand. Anne Pack and Fatin Al-Tamimi, who have also got images and have recorded photographs and videos from Gaza as well. What I was thinking here is, as you say, you know, it's kind of therapeutic for the children living in the environment they're living in. How did you find afterwards when they'd gone through the process, they'd used the cameras and they'd taken the photographs? Do they sit down and talk about the images? Do you discuss it with them? And how does it change anything for them, or does it just maybe give them a little bit of a brighter outlook?
Well, to be honest, this work was done more by the psychologist himself, as mm-hmm. I explained to you. For me, was to come with my skills as a photographer and help them through the process. But it was mostly the teachers in the school and the psychologists and the educators and the family also, because without the family, to be honest, we wouldn't have been able to set this project. Because the first thing was to have the trust from the families, because I spent a lot of times with the kids. I was sleeping with them in their houses too, so I had to get the family involved. Yeah. Now, talking about the pictures, the idea was every time a child will come back, because the process was done during 3 months, 4 months. Mm-hmm. So every week or every 2 weeks, the child will come back with some photographs. Sometimes they will not bring photos, and we will ask them why. Like for Mu'tasim, as I was talking about him, the second month, the subject was family. We decided with the psychologist that we will leave the family at the last subject, because we wanted first to, knowing that those kids are orphans, for most of them, or lost a brother or sister, so we would eventually start with just random subjects like the sea, like school, like your environment. You have a playground that you can where you can play on, and the last subject was family, and that was the most difficult part to work with them, because some of them didn't bring any photograph, and then we will eventually ask them why, and then they will answer because, well, I left my father. Which kind of pictures do you want me to show you? Mm-hmm. And then we will ask them, okay, but you do have memories and maybe pictures when they were alive, and they will say yes, but we don't want to show them because they are not here anymore. So the whole work with the psychologist was that, was why you didn't show us this or this, and
As you say, ultimately trying to alleviate any kind of pain or suffering that they might be having, or psychological scars or wherever. I still find it interests me is that, you know, you gave these kids the cameras and you just let them go. You just left them off to their own devices.
Were you
surprised by some of the images that came back, or was, you know, I mean, you're telling the story about the cat there or whatever. Did some of the images that came back to you just surprise you totally?
Yes, there was one photograph, among many, because they took a lot of pictures, of course. Mm-hmm. There was a child taking another child. This is Wala Abu Musa, taking another child who works. And then I will ask her, why did you took this child in pictures? And you can see the child, he's on, he's selling actually bananas in the street of the refugee camp. Okay. So I will ask her, what is this important for you? She said, yes, because he's a child like me. He's he has my age, but he's not going to school because his mother is a widow and he has to bring some money. The UNRWA is lacking of money, so we don't receive a lot. So she said, for me, it's important because my goal is to study, to have a good job, and to support my family. So for me, receiving this picture from a child of 8 years old talking about child labor was very powerful, actually.
Yeah. Well, it, as you say, it's the wonder of how a child's mind works. You wouldn't necessarily... Yes. Excuse me, I don't know whether you can hear that microphone dropping out on me all the time. I do apologise for that. I just hear it dropping out in my ear every so often. I do apologise. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. What I really wanted to highlight is also, I think that the main success of this exhibition, first, we did it in the center of Gaza. We had like 400 people coming from all the Gaza Strip, from south, Rafah, from the north, from Jabalia. And when I was talking to the public, I was asking them, well, how come that you came? It's not the first time that there is a lot of exhibitions in Gaza. They said that what touched them is that it's not me as a foreign photographer coming from Belgium and taking pictures of what I see. It's the kids showing the outside world. It's their own view, and I think it's pure, it's innocent, it's genuine, because it comes from their eyes. And I think it's also why this exhibition had a lot of success. It was brought to Malaysia, to North Africa, to Jordan, Turkey. And I think what affects people is that they can see through those Palestinian children, they can see their own perspectives. And yes, I think this is why it's really important that this exhibition continue to travel, actually, not only for Europe, but I would love to for African kids to see it.
Mm-hmm. Probably lots of kids around the world who probably aren't aware of Gaza or what's happening in that part of the world. So there could be people who just completely are unaware, but maybe living in similar circumstances in places like, you say, Africa or South America or anywhere else where there's any sort of conflict in the world. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that we showed the exhibition in Morocco, in the capital, in Rabat.
Yeah.
And there was a school coming with pupils, 50 of them. And, of course, in Morocco, I mean, there are some kids who live under poverty or are orphans, but the circumstances are different. In Gaza, the catastrophe is that working with those kids since 2012, we did with the psychologists and the teacher an amazing work, but After that, those children, the same kids I'm talking about, those six kids, Wala Abu Musa, Mu'tasim, Abdu, and the others, they witness other crimes. I mean, they witnessed the massacres in 2008, but then again in 2012 and then 2013 and last year in 2014 in July. So those kids, at some point, somehow they succeed to express themselves and release the anger, their fears, but also their hopes and dreams. Mm-hmm. But once again, the psychologist, it's to be honest with you and to the public, it's becoming very, very difficult to continue this project, mm-hmm. because those kids continue actually to live under the same circumstances, under the same challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, okay, they witnessed one massacre and then they can go on with their life and try to hope for the better. The problem is that Gaza is still under siege, under occupation, and Israel is constantly bombarding this area of Palestine. So those kids, I mean, for the psychologists, to be honest, one of the psychologists told me, look, Asma, this is really a mm-hmm. great help we are doing with the kids, but I'm afraid I'm going to stop. Because it's difficult to continue to them.
Yeah.
With them, sorry.
And we're all aware of the conflict that's going on in that region, and I suppose, you know, the Israelis will still maintain that they're only defending their own lands as well. So it's a difficult one, you know, and you know, you would hope that, you know, maybe these children through expression will probably in years to come will be the peacemakers and will probably hopefully one day find a better way, you know.
I hope so. I hope. Yeah. When you say conflict, for me it's a difficult word to use, because when you think about conflict, you think about two equal sides. Mm-hmm. Now I'm talking about this project with the kids.
Yeah.
Those kids will be able to dream a better future only if Israel stops sieging the Gaza Strip and stop their occupations and mm-hmm. their massacres, and then we can have some hopes for their kids. Otherwise, to be honest, I'm quite pessimistic.
Yeah.
When you see what the Gaza Strip now, and I think Anpak, amazing work. She witnessed the massacres in 2014, and her exhibition is about the families that they were killed. Show you that since 2014, since July, 1 year after we are talking now, nothing has been reconstructed, because Israel imposed this blockade, which doesn't allow material, so people will eventually build back their, build again a house, a home, schools. I was talking about the psychologist. One of the three psychologists lost his wife, his two kids, and his house.
Yeah.
So it's we will have hope. I mean, I will talk for myself.
Yeah.
Because I was there. I witnessed all that from 2009 until 2014. Mm. I will have real hope when I will see Israel lifting the siege, which is quite inhuman, and it also it's illegal for those. For those kids to have some dreams of a better life.
I think, in fairness, we're starting to wander into a different conversation that would take an awful lot longer for us to have, and I'd love to have it one day.
Absolutely.
And as I say, you know, in the interests of fairness and balance, you know, the Israelis will argue that they're only defending their own territories too. Now, we all have opinions, or we all may have opinions personally of what that is, but to be fair to Israel, which I have to be, if we had somebody from the other side on here, they would be arguing that they're only defending themselves too. So as I say, we've digressed into another conversation that, you know, is for another day, and I'd love to have that with you one day, but for now, Asma, what we'll try to do is we'll just put the word out about the exhibition. You're coming into Dublin tomorrow, yes?
I'm coming to Dublin tomorrow, absolutely, yeah. And I welcome, I will first, would like, I'm sorry, I forgot, but
it's, okay.
It's really important to thank the festival, PalFest Ireland, and all the activists and the artists also. There are a lot of Irish artists who were doing this great job of setting this festival, which highlights the life, culture, music, theater, cinema, the kitchen, also Palestinian culture, and they're all doing this with voluntary work, and I really give them all my respect and all my love for being supportive with the Palestinians. It's amazing. It's really amazing. I'm looking forward to meeting all of them and participate.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful exhibition, and
it will be exciting.
I hope it all goes well. And it takes place in Base in Dublin, and it's from it starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. Beginning at 7 p.m. I think.
Yeah.
Until the 9th, 7 p.m. also.
Yeah. So
I will be there to welcome the public, answer questions. So Irish Dubliners, come and let's meet.
Yes, absolutely. Asma, listen, it's been absolutely fantastic to talk to you. I could literally
spend hours talking to you. Thank you for welcoming me.
No, you're very, very welcome. And thank you for sharing your experiences and your stories with us. And we wish you every success at the exhibition. And enjoy your trip to Dublin. And I hope by the time you get here tomorrow, the rain is gone.
I told you, I will definitely bring some sun with me. Thank you so much, Mark, for having me.
Okay, Asma, thank you very, very much indeed. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.